to come and be with you on this beautiful, beautiful Lord's Day morning. I try to find places for David to go, hoping I'll get to come back. But I'm sure that they're having a great time in Orlando. The group up in North Alabama are in Nashville, Tennessee, and they're very excited about the Lads to Leader Leaderette program there. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. While you're turning there, I want to again look out and show my appreciation to those that are here this morning. And 18 years that I spent with this congregation, we have grown so very, very close to each and every one of the members of this church and their families. You can't be at a place that long and help birth the babies and marry the kids and help to bury the dead without having some kind of a feeling for the people. And I feel your love for me, and I hope you feel mine for you. It was mentioned, I think, in one of the emails that I received that let's welcome W.T. and Shelby back home. And that's how we feel, that we're coming back home to be with the people here. And for those that are new to the congregation, since I was here back in the fall, I think you already know that you can't find a place on God's good earth that there's more love that can be shown than the people right here at the Creekwood congregation. They truly know and carry out what Paul said, that we are to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. And they know how to do both in this congregation. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward the heavens as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Have you ever been misunderstood? I'm sure all of us have at some time in our life. We say something and do something, and people do not really understand what we said or what we had done. Well, Jesus was that way. I can remember, maybe some of you would go with us on some of the devotionals that we'd have at some of our nursing homes here, can remember this incident. But I was in this nursing home, and I came over to this one lady sitting in a wheelchair, and she said, you look just like my fourth husband. And I said, well, how many times have you been married? She says, three times. And I had to think fast, and I reached down and thanked her for the proposal and kissed her on the cheek, and very quickly she came back. She said, where'd you learn to kiss like that? Siphoning gas out of a car? So she fully misunderstood me, and I misunderstood her, I'm sure. Well, Jesus was oftentimes misunderstood. In John chapter 2, verse 19, he said, I will destroy the temple and build it again in 3 days. And they didn't understand that. How can you build something back that it took 46 years to build in the first place. You can say you can build it back in 3 days. Of course, he was speaking of his body, and they were thinking about the temple of Jerusalem. Another one in John chapter 3, Nicodemus didn't understand the new birth, did he? Thought he had to re-enter the mother's womb and be born again. But he was talking about a birth of water and of the Spirit. And then there were misunderstandings about Jesus' teaching of the kingdom. Acts chapter 1, they thought that he was coming to restore a kingdom or the kingdom of Israel back to its ancient glory. But he was talking about a spiritual kingdom. And then Jesus told Peter, when Peter took the sword up and cut off Malchus's ear, put your sword up. My kingdom is not of this world. Peter thought it was going to be an earthly kingdom, and the right thing to do is to protect the king. And he was doing that. Another great misunderstanding came about the world's greatest day. The world has had many, many great days. You look back into Bible history, the day of creation had to be a great day. Genesis 1, verse 1. What about the day that the Lord took that dust and formed man and breathed into the nostril the breath of life and man became a living soul? You're here today because of what the Lord did on that great day. What about the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem of Judea? 30 years later, John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the Jordan, and God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then what about 3 years later on Golgotha, where Jesus died upon the cross, and he gave those seven great sayings, and finally, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And then 3 days later on that bright Sunday morning, there was the resurrection. Then 40 days later is where Acts 1 comes in. He ascended into heaven to be at God's right hand. But I believe that the greatest day is yet to come, and that is the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be a general resurrection, and they that are done good shall be resurrected unto life, but they that have done evil shall be resurrected unto damnation. And this resurrection is all because of the great resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He became the first fruits of the resurrection. Oh, other people have been resurrected, but they died again, didn't they? But not Jesus. He died one time, was resurrected, and he's going to come back and resurrect the dead. Not only will a small group of people like us acknowledge him as Lord and Master on that day, but every person who's ever lived is going to acknowledge him as the Lord of that day. They'll confess him. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess to God. So every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. Romans 14, verse 11 and 12. So it's a great day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us something about that great day. For the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now, down through the ages, they have been scoffers. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking about their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? And since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. There are people today that do not believe in this greatest day that is yet to come. So I want us to investigate a few things about this greatest of all days. There are 319 references in the Bible, Old and New Testament, concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, the first thing about this great day is that it'll be a day of great identification. Now, you think about that. Jesus will be identified on that day as the Lord and Savior. He's already that to you and me that are children of God, to all the saints of God who call him Lord. But for the vast majority of our world today, Jesus is not their Lord. He's not their Savior because they have rejected him. But when Jesus comes on this greatest of all days, he will be identified to the whole world as to who he is and what he is. Every tongue shall confess him as Lord. Yes, Jesus is going to be identified as the Savior and the Lord of all the earth, of those past, those present, and those future. And not only that will Jesus be identified, but this is important that we understand right here, and that is that the saved will be identified by Jesus as belonging to him. Jesus will be identified by us, but we're also going to be identified by him on that day. Our association to Jesus as Christians identify us with Christ upon our confession of him as Lord. How do I know that you are a Christian? Well, it's because you have confessed that to me. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Well, Acts chapter 8, verse 37, we know here that Philip preached to the eunuch and preached unto him Jesus, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest, thou mayest. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And with that, we believe that he was a Christian. He went on his way rejoicing as a child of God, as a Christian. But we identify Christians by their own confession. But we have a real problem here. How can I really know what is on your heart? I can't know that. I can read your fruits, but I don't know what's in your heart. Well, Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23 tells us here that there are some that may say, well, Lord, we've prophesied in thy name. We've in thy name cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works. But he said, I will profess to them, I know you not. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. So the Lord knew their heart. Others didn't know their heart. So how do I know what's on your heart? The only thing that you and I can really know about each other is what we confess to one another and also the fruits that we bear in our life. But listen to me. When Jesus descends from heaven, man's identification with Jesus will not have to rest upon man's confession of Jesus, but rather Jesus' confession of us. When Jesus comes again, he will forever put an end to those who confess him falsely, those who confess him without pure motives, those who confess him but live lives of a hypocrite. So Jesus will only confess those that are his. And this ought to strike fear and in even comfort in our hearts. Fear to the pretenders, but comfort to those that are genuine in their faith in the Lord. In the final hour of this greatest day, the only thing that will really matter is what Jesus will confess about us. Matthew chapter 10, 32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." We'll know where we stand, and we'll know where those around us will stand. We'll be identified either as a true Christian or not. It'll be a great day of identification. Number two, it'll be a great day of transformation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51, Paul said, "I show you a great mystery. We shall all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment," he said, "a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." So it'll be a day of transformation. We don't have any historical evidence of how Jesus looked in the body. The Bible is silent on that, maybe on purpose, so that we might not make a God out of what he looked like rather than what he is. So, you know, we today idolize the outward appearance of people, don't we? Well, you need to look into the heart as much as you can. Jesus, or John, said that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3, verse 2. Well, will we know one another in heaven? That's the question that always comes up when you're dealing with something like this. Now, whatever God has revealed to us on the subject of heaven, he's done so to intensify our desire to go there. Those streets of gold, those gates of pearl, and on, and no tears in heaven, and that we'll see our loved ones again. So what does the Bible teach about future recognition in heaven? The Word of God implies future recognition. You know, when David's little baby died, he said, "I can't go to where he is, but I can bring it back." No, this implies that David would be conscious in the presence of that child that had died. And then there's the story of the rich man and Lazarus we've read many times, Luke 16, 19 through 21. All three of those personalities mentioned in this story, the rich man and Lazarus and Abraham, recognized each other. Some assert that this story is only a parable, and therefore the whole picture is figurative. But even if that was true, the Lord's parables were not related to, or not given to mislead, but to instruct and to enforce heavenly truths upon the mind of men. Then there's a transfiguration. Settles that. Luke chapter 9, 27. There was Moses and Elijah. They suddenly appeared on the mountain with Peter and James and John and Jesus. And there was Moses who had been dead 1,500 years, and Elijah, who had been dead 900 years, and yet they were recognizable. And then there was a nature of heaven requires future recognition. Heaven is revealed as a social place, and will be people that can relate to one another. Heaven is a Christian home and the Father's house. So how can one conceive of a home where those that dwell there have no recognition of one another? Heaven is spoken of as a family circle, but what a strange family that would be if members had no recognition or no power to recognize and converse with one another. And then the resurrection settles it. The fact that Jesus died and was buried and rose again from the dead and was recognized after his resurrection teaches us that we shall be recognized and shall recognize others when we have this glorified body. Paul wrote, he said in Philippians 3, verse 21, that our resurrected body will be conformed to Christ's glorious resurrected body. So Christ, or since Christ was recognized by many after his resurrection, we know that there will be future recognition. What kind of body will we have? We'll be like Jesus in body. Well, not only that, but in spirit. We'll have a new nature. Jesus will completely transform us spiritually. Oh, we fail in our walk with Jesus daily, don't we? We all sin. And all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But when Jesus comes, every Christian will have a new body, but also a new spirit. And all the deeds and words and thoughts and actions in that new spirit will be focused on Jesus alone. We will be like him. We will be like him. So this great day, this great identification, this great transformation, you know, we sing a song, Ross, sometimes, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I forfeit all of earth's treasure, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee. And then thirdly, there'll be a great commendation. Won't it be a wonderful day when we can stand before the Lord and he will open up the books of record and say that I'm going to examine all of your life's work. I want to evaluate all your works and all your labors and the songs that you've sung and the sermons you've preached, the classes you've taught, and the prayers you've prayed, the gifts you've given, and the people that you've led to Christ. I have a record of all of that. And aren't you glad that we have commendations from the Lord awaiting us on the other side? Bible school teachers, a lot of times you get discouraged and you say, well, you got worked hard, you got your lesson ready, all your visuals for the class, you go in and you expect them to sit there spellbound, just eat up every word you're saying, but you walk in the classroom and they're writing on the chalkboard, they're throwing Bibles across the room, just completely chaos. And you can't get their attention, you're going to say, well, I don't think I'll ever teach another class in my life. I'm going to give up. No, you're not. You're not going to quit because one of these days, Jesus is coming and he's bringing the books with him and the rewards to give you for all the service that you have given and rendered to him. Listen to me, on that wonderful day, we'll stand before the Lord. Other men and women will stand there, and they'll say, this is the person that taught me about Jesus. She encouraged me to be faithful to the Lord. And Jesus will have commendations to give us. Jesus will say, I saw when you gave above your ability to give. I heard the prayer that you prayed. I was there when you wet your pillow at night with tears because of lost loved ones that you love so dearly. God will have these great commendations to give to us. Paul put it like this. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day, not to me only, but to all them that shall love his appearing. And then there'll be a God's great day of God's reunification. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, "For the Lord shall descend from heaven with that shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Now notice, "And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be the Lord." But go back to verse 14. It says, "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Those, them, the dead saints, your fathers, your mothers, your sons, your daughters, your husbands, your wives, your loved ones will be brought up from the grave. And they'll, Jesus will have them, and we'll be caught up together. And will there be a reunification of the dead and the living? Notice those coming down will meet those going up. The saints will be reunited. Look into the faces of their loved ones again. Now, because of Jesus' resurrection, we can say on that blessed day, when he comes again, we shall rise to meet him there. Also, all of our loved ones will be there that have died in the Lord. But, what about those that are not prepared to meet God? "In that day, for all days were made, multitudes shall gather before the great white throne of Jesus. And when the Lord shall announce to the world that time shall be no more, the frame of nature shall feel the shock of that strong convulsion. And suddenly we feel the earth shudder, and we realize that this earth is like an old machine that has served its purpose and is just running down. Somewhere, sometime, somehow, we will know what eternity is all about. We've heard it talked about, even joked about, but why has not someone conveyed the feeling of the bigness of it, the emptiness of it, the vastness of it, without end? And there sits Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And I hear him call my name, W.T. Allison. You hear him call your name. And then a decision has been reached. The verdict has been reached. It'll either be, 'Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden,' and the Lord has, and we've answered that call. Now the Lord says unto us, 'Come, ye blessed of my Father.' And then there'll be the other verdict, 'Depart from me. You never, never, never was identified with me on earth. You never stood before a group of people and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How can I confess you when you've not confessed me before men?' It'll be a great day of separation. If Jesus should come today, on this very Sunday morning, at 10:05, 5 minutes from right now, if the Lord should come, all the saints of God would rise to meet the Lord in the air, saved by the blood of Jesus. Nothing to fear. Going to meet Jesus and all the dead saints that Jesus will bring with him. We're going to see our daddies and our mothers and our sons and our daughters and our husbands and our wives all caught up together. But what about those that are left behind? After all the Christians rise to meet the others righteous in the air, what about those left behind? Will it be you? What will happen? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 talks of that day, but of that day of the Lord will come. He'll come as a thief in the night. It's not going to be announced. He'll come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Judgment Day, verdicts will be given out. I ask you this morning, are you saved? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you confessed Christ as Savior and Lord and been baptized for the remission of your sins? Have you done that? Are you a Christian? Are you identified with Christ? Does your family recognize you as a Christian? Does your friends recognize you as a Christian? Does your schoolmates recognize you as a Christian? Does your working associates recognize you as a Christian? But more importantly than any of those questions is, does Jesus recognize you as one of his children? The world's greatest day, great day of identification, transformation, commendation, reunification, and separation. The world's greatest day. Are you ready? Are you ready for that day to come? As together we stand and sing, will you come?
Betrayed by all, hearken what meaneth the sudden call. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus, my friend? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, oh friend, what will he do with me? Jesus is standing on trial still. You can be false to him if you will. You can be faithful through good or ill. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus, my friend? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, oh friend, what will he do with me? Jesus, I give thee my heart today. Jesus, I'll follow thee all the way, gladly obeying thee, will you say. This will I do with Jesus. What will you do with Jesus, my friend? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, oh friend, what will he do with me?
Please remember that the adults will stay in here and meet. Brother Allison is going to have his class in here. The rest of the classes will meet as given. Let's sing 398, 398, how sweet, how heavenly, and be dismissed in prayer. Let's sing 1, 4, and 5.
How sweet, how heavenly is the sight when those that love the Lord in one another's peace delight and so fulfill the word. When love and one delightful strength through every bosom flows, when union sweet and dearest deep. Love is the golden chain that binds the happy souls above.